lie on your back. Where do you feel that most pressure? Yeah, most pressure. And for sure, you are lying on the floor. You are lying on your back. This nobody can deny. But then we can start listening to the various parts, either just by starting at the top or at the bottom, or asking a very specific question. Is there some place that feels most pressure? So already you have to compare. Not this place, no, not that place, not this place. Ah, yes, maybe this place. That, of course, can change as you settle backward. And it may not be one place, it may be that heavier parts, like the head or the pelvis, or both, more or less, have more pressure than, for instance, the hands. Could be that then, if we go away from most pressure, but begin to compare different pressures, that, for instance, the right elbow and the left elbow have a different contact or pressure to the floor, or the right heel and the left heel. It's a continuum of sensations between pressure, contact, the left calf and the right calf. You compare and contrast. It may not be clear whether there's any difference or not, but just to visit and ask the question between the back of the left thigh and the back of the right thigh. Your buttocks. And it's inevitable when you look for contact that you find them in contrast to no contact, like in the legs, perhaps the space behind your knees, which could be different, left and right. And then above the buttocks, the space between some part of your waist, the lower back, and the floor. And again, even though it's one back, it could feel different left and right. And just like anything that we pay attention to, we choose how much attention we give it. With what level of detail we're interested in any moment. Somewhere above the lower back, above the waist, there's contact again with your back. Maybe it's shoulder area, maybe it's a little bit below the shoulder blades, somewhere around the bra area. And then the space between the back of the neck and the floor. Probably some space between the upper back and the floor. It's not just the neck. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have space there. How much is a different matter. And somewhere, of course, the head touches, and there may be a difference in the amount of pressure in the left and right side of the head. But because the head is a ball, we usually don't think to compare left and right, but just that there is more pressure on the right or more pressure on the left. And that's just the contacts, and then there's the visiting the parts that don't touch in the front of ourselves, front of you, and the face, the eyes, comparing left and right, if there's some facial expression that can be released once it's noticed, that can be abandoned. The forehead, the eyes, the cheeks, the mouth, the tongue, somewhere internal between the front and the back. Where would you notice, where do you go to look for noticing breathing? many, many places of possibility. It could be the nostrils themselves or the mouth, if you're breathing through the mouth. Do you listen to the air coming in or going out, or to the difference between left and right nostril? Or perhaps it's more in the chest, somewhere in the ribs, or in the belly that you look to find if there's something about breathing that's noticeable, that is sensible. And funnily enough, it's possible to feel differences left and right, not just in the nostrils, but in the chest or in the belly, or even low down in the lower belly, close to the groin. Where that's easier to expand somehow in one direction than in the other. That's left and right, but there are many other complementary directions, like forward and back. And roll your head gently from side to side, the little bit that is very easy and smooth, allowing for the differences. Clearly differences in sensation, left and right, and contact, and we have differences in movement, some of which persist to our great annoyance, some of which change and then return. It's just the whole flux of who we are, who we can be, who we might be, how we look, where we see. And in spite of the differences left and right, or maybe related to them, when you roll your head, is it just the head and face that you listen to, or do you listen to some parts of yourself below the neck, through the front, through the back, through the middle? Notice if the question itself makes sense, or if the question is like, what does that have to do with rolling of my head? We'll find out. And leave it, please, and slowly roll to you, lie on your belly. And roll your pelvis to the right so you can slide your knee, your left knee on the floor, and drag your left leg so that the left side of your belly is a little bit, left hip joint is clearly lifted off the ground. And place your hands so that they're both up on either side of your head, and then put your left hand, no, that's fine, put your left hand on top of your right, and put your right cheek, so the hands are one on top of each other, the right hand on the ground, the left hand on top of the right, and then your right cheek on your left hand. And just briefly sense, where do you have contact here? On the front of the right thigh, right knee, right foot, which parts of the right side of your trunk, the inside of the left knee, the inside of the left foot. Are there any parts of the chest that are touching? Maybe yes, maybe no. Depends on many things. But what depends on something can change, because everything changes. And as you think about lifting your head with the left arm, listen to whether the contact between any part of the front of yourself and the floor changes. Is there any part that goes further, that goes more forward as the head lifts away from the floor, which is backward? Do you hold your breath as you lift? Does it make a difference if you inhale when you lift or exhale when you lift? Feel free to try either both or each one. But make sure that when you come to the floor, when you come forward to the floor, really let your weight settle forward. So we're more used to letting our weight settle back. Our weight settles back into chairs, into beds, into blankets on the beach. But forward is something that most of us are not used to. It's part of why we're not comfortable on the belly, because we don't let the weight settle forward. We have all kinds of explanations in our heads, but part of it is we've forgotten how to let the weight settle forward. So it doesn't matter how much you lift. It doesn't matter how much you lift. It can be so tiny that it's barely visible. But you ask if it's for yourself, whether it makes some difference in ease, whether you're exhaling or inhaling as you lift. You ask. It doesn't mean you have to have an answer right away. So it's not a simple question like, can you live without breath? Right? That's a simple question. You may find as you lift any number of times and then really let your weight settle fully forward into the ground, that what happens is every time you lift, somehow your support, in other words, what comes forward into the floor, organizes differently. Just by itself, without me having to suggest different ways to doing it. Okay. And then leave it, just rest like this, if you can. And keep your hands as they are and your legs, and slowly change your head so that your left cheek, or maybe it won't be the cheek, maybe it'll be the jaw, just to find out with keeping everything the same and just turning the head. How is it to even just do that, and then lift your head and your left arm. Is it different? Is it harder? Is it easier? Does your weight shift in the same way on the front? Does it go to the same places? So change your head again. So you're looking to your left, and the right cheek is on your hand, and lift and listen to where your weight goes. There's forward, but then there's also a little bit more left, a little bit more right. Listen to the front of your belly. And imagine that as you lift, you don't just lift backward to the ceiling, but you imagine yourself getting a little bit longer, as if someone has their hands and they're lengthening you a little bit upward through the top of your head as you lift. Note what difference this makes in the ease, in where you find support in the front, or even how the muscles in the back, the lower back, or over the tailbone, or in any parts of the back, how they organize themselves, they come into activity. Remember to let your head and arm rest fully to the floor. And one more time, change your head. And with the idea, it's a lot, you see, your attention is now being filled with many elements. So here's a lengthening, a feeling or thought of lengthening upward as you lift, and then listening whether somehow on your belly a different part comes forward, a different part is the base for the lifting. And don't forget to settle. Every time, really settle. Every part, the elbow, the chest, a hand, your head. Yeah. something as I was going to say simple, not so simple necessarily to change the head the other way, but it can really change how the back mobilizes into action, how the front becomes the support. And leave it, please. Slowly turn to your back. And after this moment where the weights can settle backward again rather than forward, perhaps you feel some differences. You might not, left and right, in not just in contact, maybe not in contact, but in a feeling of length. Does one leg feel longer than the other? Does one side feel longer? And please roll to your front again, and still with your left leg drawn up to the side. And change your hands so that the left one is now on the floor, the right hand is on top of the left, and your head is still turned to the left so that your right cheek or some right side of your face is resting on the right hand. And as every human movement really relies on support to be able to happen, as you begin to think about lifting your right arm and your head, and imagine an elongation or somebody is elongating you, find in the immediate moment of even when the head and the arm become lighter on the floor, they maybe don't even leave the floor yet, but just become lighter, you may find it's interesting to ask, where is there already support? What comes forward? What goes to the ground so the head can lift from the ground? In particular, if you don't push with the left hand, don't push the floor with the left hand or the left elbow, so you're not pushing yourself away from the floor, but you're letting your brain sort out how to lift you with the muscles of the whole back, from the lowest part of the tailbone, the pelvis in relation to the legs, the left hip joint lifted. What happens to the right hip joint? Does it go towards the floor? Does it lift? Okay, and slowly leave it. And then turn your head, leave your hands arranged and your legs, and turn your head so you're looking to the right, so the left side of your face is somehow. And again, imagine first, actually you can imagine if you'd like, that you're lifting, you're lengthening as long as, almost like you're stretching like a gummy bear, and you're lifting. You can imagine as lifting as high as you want, but in imagining lifting as high as you want, just imagine a few times before you actually. So in thought you can do anything. And in thought the whole spine is soft and easy, and the whole chest can come forward to the floor. And once you've imagined a height that clearly would not be possible, find out what is possible in the imagining of the almost a not a caricature, because a caricature distorts, but in the imagining of a ease, of a quality, of a size of movement, brain picks some hints up for actually doing it. The first moment of the head and the arm lightening on the floor, where is there a coming forward to the floor? That's right. Good. Leave that, please. And again, lie on your back. And roll your head from side to side. It's one direction or both directions more fluid or easier in any way, including greater distance. But perhaps even more importantly is the question of what happens below the notch of the throat. Is there any resonance, any echo, any participation of, do I have to know of what? We're so used to the question, well, what is it? What's happening? That sometimes we miss the happening. The undefined happening of sensations or qualities. Okay, and then just rest. Funny word to use for these pauses, rest, because it's not really a rest. Some time when you're not asking the brain to do anything new so it can take what has happened and make more happen with it. So you might begin to feel during these times of seeming nothing, shifts in your breath, shifts in how you sense yourself, in the way your thoughts flow. So the rest is a time when nothing new comes from the outside, but much new can be formulated inside. And please roll to your belly again, this time with your arms up, of course, the left hand on the floor, the right hand on top of it, but the right knee. So the pelvis rolled more to the left and the right knee drawn up. And feel free to, if you'd like, to take a bit of time to roll the leg up or roll your pelvis, draw the leg up, bring it down, get up again, because you want to find how high would you like to have your knees so that you can rest there? You need to find a balance point in a way that the pelvis and the belly
the left side is going to be used for support. So where should the right side be so that the left side can be used for support, the back can be available for pelvis, the back of the pelvis, the lower back can be available for the lifting. And your right hand is resting on top of your left, and the left cheek is on your right hand. And do the smallest movement of lifting your head that allows you at the same time you can imagine somebody's holding your head and lengthening you a tiny little bit. And do the hand and arm follow the head, or do they actually lift the head? What lifts the head? The arm and its connection to the back, or the head and its connection to the back, or both? The answer is not necessary. The question is useful. The answer may come. Every time you return to the ground, settle back. That allows your brain to use the various parts differently, because it's starting from a beginning, starting from a more neutral place. We never start from neutral. We are no longer neutral. But we start from as neutral as we can be. And it gives you a chance to listen to the forming of the additional weightedness forward, the pressure forward, somewhere along the left side. If someone had their hand along the back of your pelvis, along the back of your sacrum, right, just kind of in the middle of the pelvis, and their fingers are pointing upward to your waist, and the heel of their hand is the lowest part, how would their hand tilt? Would it? And rest a moment on the front. And as you turn your head so that the right side of your face is lying on the left, on the right hand, let's go easy. This might be easier or more difficult. You might need to adjust the left elbow, the left shoulder, and you might be resting not on the side, but kind of almost like right next to the nose, just so wherever your head can rest and you can continue to breathe. And your attention is not captivated by some discomfort, but can be spread. Again, lift, or imagine first that someone is lengthening you or helping you lift. Imagine a number of times, so that in the imagination you're clear that you don't squeeze anywhere through the left shoulder, or that you press through the left elbow or the left hand. In any action, it's extremely important what are the parts that work and what are the parts that don't work. We say that we use all of ourselves, and we do, but we use parts to do nothing and we use other parts to do something. From the hand that's on the back of the sacrum to the places that are on the floor in the front, to the right elbow that will need to lift, and the right heel of the heel of the right hand. And that's it. Whether you inhale or exhale, and how much you lift is completely insignificant compared to how you lift. Great. Lovely. And are there parts of the spine that feel like they're, oh God, if it was a little bit smoother here, you don't know in which direction, but somehow this was a little bit something. This was something that would be better. Uh, Good. And then next time that you bring your head and everything to the floor, turn your head again to the look to the right, and once you compose in a way the template of what you'd like, the lengthening, the easy breath, the qualities, and lift and find whether perhaps sometimes when we do something more difficult, and most people would experience turning the head the other way, more difficult than this way, when you come back to the easier, it becomes even easier. As if the complexity makes what was easier even clearer. And leave that, roll to your back. Roll to your belly again, with the right knee out to the side, the hands arranged so that the left is on top of the right, and you're looking to the right. The right knee is drawn up to the side. Something about the lengthening and the lifting that stays the same is a kind of a template that's the same, but within that there are variations that seem to make a difference in what the back has to do, how the front comes forward. So think first, think of length. It's not so much that you pull yourself, it's as you, the image, the thought of length makes it more likely that you won't shorten as you lift. As this different from, and if it's really a struggle, then don't actually lift at all. Right? You find that maybe your left leg wants to lift, or you want to lift your head first and then the arm. That all of that shows that it's really not as easy on this side. And that's okay if you want to continue and just notice, like, wow, yeah, here I... Maybe you can even on purpose lift your whole left leg. As if more of you wants to come in and more extensors. But if it's not possible to actually move without holding your breath or shortening, then don't actually move. Move fictitiously in your imagination. or keep trying to repeat the impossible. That's fine too. It's just, you know, we do what we do. I have a tip for you. Should I give you a tip? All right, I think it's going to work. When you are lengthening, actually shift the mass of your head a little bit to the left and your shoulder to the left. Your whole chest and everything. Think of lengthening forward a little bit to the left and then lift. There you go. Well, that's not actually quite as helpful as I thought it was going to be. Somehow, neither going to the right nor to the left. Okay, leave it, because there might be some other variation that'll make it more possible. Like, for instance, turn your head so that you're looking to the left. Mm-hmm. And again, in your thought, maybe several times in your thought. In your thought, but without the struggle. So that the left arm becomes, the left shoulder, the left arm becomes easy to lift. That was the difficulty. And in order for the left shoulder, the left arm to lift, somehow, which parts of the chest or belly would need to go forward? Which parts of the middle back? Which parts of the middle back would need to, I don't know, either lengthen or, how about the top of the breastbone? What have you thought of the very top, right where the clavicles come in, that it goes a little bit forward and up? There you go. That makes a difference? Yeah, that's the one. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am, there you go. And of course, where goes the top of the breastbone, there go with the rest of it. So it's if the whole front view, that's great. Wonderful. Good. And a little tip that's not in this ATM, but what the heck, tuck the toes of your left foot under. And use the toes to lengthen yourself a bit upward. There you go. That's it. Good. Leave it. Turn your head to the first way. So turn your head to the left. And find whether with your head, your head is to the right, with the left side of your face on the hand. See if now it's possible to, a little bit more possible to lift your left arm and head with the head to the right than it was when you first started. You can tuck the toes of your left foot under. There you go. That's it. It's a bit less of a struggle, isn't it? Yeah, good. Leave it, roll to your back. And roll your head side to side. So not just the movement changes or the ease of it, but the way, how we listen to ourselves changes. So as there are more sensations and more thoughts about where to listen, right? The sensation, but they're also like, oh wow, what's happening here? There's a kind of an active curiosity. What's here? What's there? And then the movement somehow finds its place within the search of curiosity, and the movement usually becomes slower. Mm-hmm. And let your head come to a restful place. Bend your knees. that your feet are on the floor. You can take something to keep the feet from slipping. And interlace your hands behind your head. Bring the elbows a little bit forward. If your head is resting there in the bottom of like a basket, your arms make a basket for your head, and your head's resting in the back. And just lift and lower your head a few times. And this time, the back of yourself that rolls somehow in relation to the floor. And again, in the very moment when your head lifts, and lift it in such a way, even though the eyes are closed, as if you would look between your knees. That's it. Different parts of your ribs in the back will go backward. You might feel that the waist, the little ribs above the waist go back a bit. That's it. And feel which is it? Do you feel that really left and right of your shoulder blades and back press evenly, or is it? Don't forget to. It's as if you're looking between your knees, so it's not lifting your head just forward to the ceiling. And then leave your head back, and just leave your right hand behind your head. Take your left arm away, and turn your. But leave it on the ground. Leave it on the ground. The head. That's it. The right hand is behind your head on the ground. The head is in the hand that is on the ground. And turn your face to your left. Still resting in your hand. And lift your head a number of times like this. Just with one arm. Just the right hand is lifting your head. Your head is turned to the left. And then bring it back to the floor. And just notice which parts of your chest in the back, which parts of your back tend to press more to the floor? The left side or the right side? And let your head really rest in your hand so that somehow the whole left side of your neck, from underneath the ear, from below the ear to the base of the neck, can get a little bit longer, like it's made from a elastic kind of tissue. And breathe out as you lift your head. Breathe out as you lift your head. And you might find that if you really lift softly and breathe out and listen to the parts of the back that press into the floor, that your head by itself will turn a little bit more to the left. That's it. Good. And then bring your head back. And take your right arm out of your, from behind, put your head in the middle. Lengthen your legs. And just roll your head left and right and see if those little lifting movements made a difference of how your head rolls in one direction, comparing left to right. And let your head be in the middle, bend both knees, put your left hand behind your head, and turn your head to the right. And then lift your head, of course, with your left hand. And exhale as you lift. Feel which parts of your back. More on the right side, do you roll onto the right shoulder, or can you stay really on the right side of your back? Can you decide a little bit, depending whether you lift your head more in the middle or carry it over to the right, which parts of your back? And then your neck from the bottom of the, just behind the right ear to the base of the shoulder. Can you lift your head in such a way as if you're listening for the lengthening of that side there?
Now you listen to how the front of the muscles go into action, and the back, the bones, the muscles, the tissues provide the support. Leave your head on the floor, lengthen your legs, and again, roll your head side to side. Letting it find its resting place in the middle, which could be different than when you started this whole exploration. Where's your breath apparent now? It's not maybe where you breathe changed, maybe how you listen to your breathing change, and probably some, it's a combination of the two. You're attending more fully, therefore you notice more, but more is happening, therefore there is more to notice. More dimensions, perhaps, or maybe in fact it feels like your breath is smaller but sufficient. Smaller not because it's constricted, but because it is sufficient. And would you please roll to your belly again? With your left knee sideways and turn your head. What's the, if I don't say anything, which way would you turn it? Most people would do as you have done, which is the nose and the knee face the same direction. Somehow it's an inner sense to that, an inner ease to that. And begin to lift your left foot from the floor. So the left knee stays. It's not lifting the whole leg. It's just a little bit. You lift the left foot and put it back down. And where do you feel the movement? The foot leaves. The knee doesn't leave. So what do you find in the hip joint, the left hip joint, maybe even in your pelvis or through the spine itself? Belly, is there a sense a little bit that it pushes as it lengthens through the spine? And leave your foot resting. Slowly turn your head to the right. Settle it somehow where it's really settled. So that might mean turn it less, but settled. And continue to lift your left foot. Notice what you need to move a few times before you can start noticing, right? You need a bit of time to find the left hip joint, find the pelvis. But whatever it is, don't actively do anything with your back. Let the simple movement of lifting the left foot, which may lift less, I don't know, is it lifting less, is it lifting more? Is it a clear movement or less clear movement? But if it's a smaller one, let it be smaller. Let it be smaller. That's it. Without activating something on purpose through the back. Let that small movement
develop into something. Feel how it, pelvis moves in relation to the floor on the right, to the right leg. That's it. Good. Leave that. Turn your head once more the other way. And a few more times, lift your left foot. Your chest, can the chest stay the front of the upper belly, the breastbone high below the clavicles, stay in your attention zone. That's it. Good. Can you do it quickly and lightly? Maybe smaller, but just quickly and lightly. That's it. Does it rock you a little bit? Kind of interesting. We say the dog wags the tail, or the tail of the dog wags the dog, but now you have the foot wagging the tail, which wags the dog. Leave it, roll to your back, and rest. The leg, how's the right leg and the left leg? How do they feel in relation to each other? Through the hip joint, through the way the back of the thigh or the back of the calves lie. And if you roll your head, does it roll more fully or more clearly or more easily to one side than the other from having visited a hip joint so specifically? And leave that. Please roll to your belly. Bring your right leg out to the side. And arrange your hands and turn your nose, your head, nose to the right, lying on the left cheek. And lift your right foot. Lift your right foot and easy. We have very different abilities, so you want it to be really light and what can happen. Think of the hip joint. Think of the hip joint rather than of the spine immediately. Or even though you think of the spine, do not skip over the hip joint. And make it so the foot doesn't. You know, sometimes when the hip joint is not so clear, we try to do more with the ankle. So it's not about the ankle at all. You could be wearing a boot. That doesn't sound very inviting. You can just keep the ankle easy. So the movement in the beginning can be much smaller, but if you allow it to be smaller, it can become clearer. If you compensate for something that the hip joint can't do by doing more through the lower back or more through the spine, it's not necessarily, it won't make it possible for the hip joint to clarify. That's it. Good. And the sensation of the clarity from the left side, you can import it even where it isn't. And every time, of course, you bring the foot back down, let it settle. That's it. Let it settle so it has to mobilize again. Voila, that's it. And then let it come back and settle through the toes, through any part that's touching. That's it. And then without disturbing your breathing, you lift the right foot. Yes. That is more useful. Excellent. Leave the foot, leave the leg, slowly turn your head the other way. And yes, then you begin the lifting of the foot, but with the attention that every time that the foot comes back to the ground, you settle the leg, you settle the left side of yourself, you settle the belly, you settle the chest, you settle the hands, the tongue, the face, the side of the temples, so that settling is not disturbed by the movement. And even if that means that the movement becomes so small that you don't strain any of the muscles in the back of the thigh, in the back of the sacrum, the ankle, that you can still feel the presence of the left thigh on the floor, the front of the left foot with its toes. Because where movement is difficult, we tend to pull our attention away from the rest of ourselves, as if there's a emergency, all attention, go to the part that's having difficulty. But it's exactly what compounds the difficulty. Because that place that has difficulty needs all the places that are having no difficulties. The top of the head, the roof of the mouth, voila, that's it. Even the left shoulder joint there, away from the floor. Yes, brilliant. And slowly turn your head so that it's resting the other way, the nose and the knee. And from the front of the foot, of the left foot that's resting on the ground, through the left side of the thigh, the left side of the belly, the left ribs, the left elbow, the top of the head. Voila, that's it. What's most important for the brain is to remap the places that are less likely to move into the movement map. It's not a static map, it's a movement map. And for that remapping to occur, the size is unimportant, but the presence of the tiniest bit of movement, real or imagined, is critical. Brilliant. Brilliant. Leave that, please. Roll to your back. Note if the sensations through the right hip joint, through the front, the back, or the muscles of the inner thigh, or the sense of length in the leg, if there's something different from having been so specifically found, or the way the right side of the pelvis lies, or the right lower back, or even the right side of the face. A specific place re-examined in the context of a whole makes a difference in the whole. The whole makes a difference to it, and it makes a difference to the whole. And that's either immediately felt or not, but it's just a fact. You're welcome to roll your head side to side, or not. And then do roll to your front again, with the left knee out to the side. Your nose to the left. And you can either continue to rest your face, your head, on your arms, or you can put it on the floor and have the hands kind of on either side of your face. You might be getting a little knuckle fatigue on your cheeks. And could you take your left side of the pelvis, or left hip joint, left groin, we'll get more specific as you figure this out, in such a way that your left knee would slide on the floor closer to your midline. So it's as if you're rolling more to the right. Yeah, that's it. Do that a number of times. And would there be a moment as that left side of the pelvis goes further away from the floor and you roll more onto the right side that you feel that you have contact with different parts of the belly, different parts of the chest in the front? And is there a moment in which you could actually lift the knee from the floor? Not because you do something with the leg so much as because the pelvis continues to turn and twist, and boop, there goes your knee. The foot stays on the floor. That's it. You might want to bend your knee a bit more to make that, I don't know where the knee would be. You can put it anywhere. That's it. So you don't push with the foot. You don't push with the foot. It's really the pelvis that, and if your knee doesn't lift, it's okay, as long as it just pulls a little bit, gets lighter. That's it. And you don't push with the left foot. You don't push with the left elbow. And push with the face into the ground. Now leave it and slowly turn your head to the other way so you're lying more on the left side, and see if it's still possible to roll your pelvis to the right. And go easy, because with the head in this direction, it may be that more has to happen somewhere in the spine between the shoulder blades and a little bit below. If your face rolls a bit towards the nose, allow it. And again, it doesn't matter whether the knee lifts, but maybe it gets a little bit lighter. Maybe sometimes it lifts, sometimes not. You don't push with the left foot or the left elbow. And then let that be. Turn your head again to the left and see if rolling your pelvis and taking the left hip joint away from the floor has gotten a bit easier or lighter. As if you wanted to roll onto the right side of your pelvis. Right? So again, the left can only lift as much as the right rolls onto the floor. And you see how just that thought makes a difference. Because it's not a thought. It's a thought that takes you to a particular place. placing yourself, and in that particular place you allow something. Same action, different perspective makes such a difference. Lovely. Leave that. Stay on your belly. Stretch out the left leg. Turn your head to the right. Draw the right leg up. And
so nose and knee are pointing to the right, and you roll your pelvis more to the left so that the right side and your knee may or may not lift. And it doesn't matter if it does. Does the breastbone pull away from the floor? Does it stay kind of hanging to the floor even if it doesn't touch? You know, if the breastbone pulls away from the floor, especially between the shoulder blades, that part of the breastbone between the breasts, what happens is the whole spine, the middle back of the spine, can't help your pelvis. That's it. Good. Leave that. Turn your head the other way. Slowly. And compose this in your thinking. So it's thought related to action, which is different than thought related to thought. So what do you think about? You think about the places that will go more forward to the ground. You think about your breath. So if your pelvis rolls to the left and the right side moves a little bit away from the floor. But if you strain with the belly, what will happen is you'll feel your chest lift from the floor rather than roll to the left. It's a challenge for the chest because your head is turned opposite to the pelvis, your nose and your knee are pointing in opposite directions. So give particular attention to the ribs above the waist on the left. Let them just roll on the floor. That's it. There you go. Yes. Voila. Let the head stay heavy on the floor. Voila. Good. Leave that. Turn your nose to the right. So nose and knee. Continuing the attention on the ribs on the left, rolling on the floor. They roll on the floor rather than lift away from the floor. They roll on the floor as if the ribs on the left could roll. That's it. Good. Okay. Leave that. Roll to your back. Your knees, put your feet on the floor, interlace your hands behind your head. Yeah, it's a good idea to not have the feet be on a slippery surface. Bring your elbows a little bit forward and just see how it is to lift and lower your head forward now. Whether the middle of yourself, which would be more or less your spine, feels more pliable. You feel more like a young willow branch than a dry out something or other branch. Nice to feel like a young willow branch, whether parts of your ribs, parts of your back actually can go like, oh, up against the floor, man. Great. Leave that. Roll to your belly. Put your left knee out to the side. Arrange your hands so that the left hand is resting on top of the right. Left knee out to the side. Nose and knee pointing to the left. And how is it to lift your head now? As we did much earlier. Or any parts of it that first you had to really think a lot, like the lengthening or how your pelvis rolls, are they much more self-evident now? So it's not just that how much or how light, but that how, what you had to think to allow happen, now happens by itself. That's the extraordinary part. You can even turn your head the other way if you'd like and see if lifting your head with the nose going to the right. Remember, in fact, there's much less difference about how your belly goes to the ground or what your pelvis does to lift your head than there was before. And turn your head again to the left. So when the spine between the shoulder blades, above the waist, gets more able to turn, then the belly and the pelvis can be much more in the middle and supportive. Good. Leave that, of course. Lengthen the left leg, bend the right one out to the side, nose to the right. Rest your head on your right hand. And maybe this one side improved more, maybe it improved less. So it's always really great to not charge in, but to listen in to the lifting of the head. That's it. Yeah. And perhaps even you feel that the not just the belly, but like the ribs below the breasts are part of the support. I don't know which part will be the most impressing on you about the change. Maybe it's how your pelvis moves. Maybe it's how long you are. Maybe it's that you can breathe or the shoulders are easier. I don't know. But change your head the other way. Maybe it's that you listen to the whole leg that's long. Oh, no. Great. And then slowly roll to your back. So this is what some organized attention, eliminating ambition, can do. This is what it feels like. How much eliminating ambition can achieve? It's great. Lovely. So you can revel in that, or roll your head, or come up to stand. All of which beautiful.
Isn't that a fantastic lesson? I'm just sitting here.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Sitting here basking in it.
That's
I'm basking in it, you know, and I feel like it's coming back to me in the way that I see you move. It's just, it's, yeah, I don't actually think I've ever taught it before.
It was, there were many points, but two very important ones. One was when I was struggling and to lengthen this.
The breastbone. Yeah, the middle of the breastbone upward.
Mm-hmm. And when I tried it, even, so that one was an eye-opener. And then when I was on my back, even then if I lengthen that,
uh-huh.
I had
you had room. It's amazing, that's right. And where you lengthened it was in thought.
That's right.
It was in thought that lengthened, that's right.
It was such a huge thing. This was one. And the other one, I don't know which one was bigger, but the other one was when I didn't feel the movement from the pelvis, when I lifted the leg. You know,
when you were on the belly and lifting the foot? Yeah.
The foot, not the leg, yes.
Yes.
And on this one.
On the left
was,
one.
It was all right. But on this one, I did not feel the movement from the hip.
No, I know. And you were, and actually, it was so apparent that you were trying to feel it everywhere but there. Yeah.
And then
you were moving more where you were already feeling it.
And then you guided me through, you know, the way you guided me through and the way I felt it, you know, my tears came off.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah.
It was something like a revelation, you know.
Yeah.
It was, meditation in action and pay attention. And as you say, let all the ambitions go.
Yeah.
Let all the ambitions go. And I felt it. And then to let everything settle, let everything, and then move again, and then I felt it.
Yeah. You know what? It's just like occurring to me now when you say it was like a meditation, why the tears came. Because it was not an abstract meditation to which you had to adapt yourself, mm-hmm. right? It was your meditation created in the moment, out of your moment.
It was something great.
Yeah.
It was very great.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful lesson. Really. Thank you very much.
Oh, my heart is richer for it. My life is richer for it. Why limit it to one capacity?
Because yeah. It really means, you know.
Yeah.
And had I been listening to the tape without having these hints or something, you know, I would have never been.
No, well, see, that to me, I mean, as I've listened to some practitioners' beginning lessons, mm-hmm. one of the things that people don't yet know how to do is how to take something really simple and turn it from movement into a personal meditation kind of discovery, right?
That's right.
And that's part of what really excites me about doing these basic lessons, because it's now I can teach the basic lessons without having to embellish and using the very basic principles, but using them for more specificity and depth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. It's worth it, worth it, worth all these years of not knowing. Okay.